Over the past couple of years, a number of theories about the end times has become popular. One of the big theories that are most popular right now are rapture theories, this idea that at the end time, we will be lifted up, Christians will be lifted up. You know, the big one that we hear right now, the big one that's in the news, of course, is Mr. Harold Camping's theory that using a bunch of math and number symbolism within the Bible, he was able to determine that today, May 21st, was the day that our Lord was going to come again and bring all Christians up to heaven. Now, originally, Mr. Camping thought that it was going to be going to be in 1994 that the end of the world was going to come. But he had a math error, and so it actually ended up being May 21st, 2011. Now, Mr. Camping wasn't the first to pick a date for the end of the world. There were many times throughout Christian history that people thought our Lord was going to return. We look through the Bible and we see that the apostles and the early Christians were positive that he was going to return fairly quickly, within a few years, if not within the lifetime of the early Christians. Of course, that didn't happen. Now, we all probably remember the Y2K events where we thought the world was going to end in the year 2001 because it was 2,000 years after our Lord's birth. Y2K itself being a computer glitch, not the end of the world. That obviously didn't happen. But there was also Y1K. Back in the year 1001, they thought the world was going to end because it was the first millennium, the end of the first millennium of our Lord's life. And that, of course, didn't happen as well. The Jehovah's Witnesses, throughout their existence, have had several dates that they thought were going to be the return of our Lord from the 1850s up to present. Aztec calendar, you might have heard of that. You know, the year 2012 is supposed to be the end of this calendar, and that's going to be the end of the world. Or the year 2030 or somewhere around there is going to be the 2000th year of our Lord's, after our Lord's death, and some think that might be his return. All these, of course, are just speculation, and of course, the ones in the past haven't happened yet. The theory is also very popular because of books like the Left Behind series of books that you might have heard of. Takes the Book of Revelation and takes it explicit, takes it literal, and actually develops this whole series, fitting the events in the series in with the Book of Revelation. So that brings up the question, what is the rapture? What is Mr. Camping and what is the Left Behind series talking about? Well, this rapture is the idea that near the end of the world or shortly before the end of the world, our Lord will appear to believers and will literally take them up to heaven. They will be lifted up from earth, up into heaven. All their possessions will be left behind and we'll just be in heaven. Everyone who believes in him will be in heaven. Those who do not believe in him will be left behind, hence the name of the book series, and will go through a period of tribulation, a period of basically torture, of difficulty in our world. And the end of the world and the final judgment will follow that period of difficulty in the world. Well, what's wrong with this idea that it'll be lifted up? Well, first of all, it's not true. The rapture is not biblical, despite the claims of those who wrote the Left Behind series, the opinion of Mr. Camping and all those who follow this theory. It is not a biblical theory. The verses that they use to prove it are taken out of context to support their position. Every verse has a context. Every verse has to be read within the verses around it. If we take a verse out of that context, we change the meaning of the verse frequently. And verses that contradict the rapture are often ignored. Even like Mr. Camping's theory of a specific date. Well, our Lord himself says, no one knows the day nor the time that it will occur. That's a specific verse within the scriptures, but that's ignored or explained away. I think Mr. Camping actually explains it away. it's ironic, actually, that Sola Scriptura believers are the ones who will promote the idea of a rapture because it is not specifically mentioned in Scripture. Sola Scriptura says Scripture alone. Everything that we believe must come from Scripture specifically and must not be a man-made tradition. Well, the rapture is a man-made tradition. It's also not traditional, as in what we as Catholics believe as tradition. It's a very recent idea coming about in the 1800s was when it was first described, but it became popular in the early 1900s through a study Bible known as the Schofield Reference Bible, which was published shortly before World War I. It became very popular with that and then became popular in recent times when that Bible was reprinted. But it was not held by any Christians before the year 1800. So it is not a traditional theory. It is something that was made up recently, a man-made tradition that came out recently. Now, this is not to say, though, that our Lord isn't returning. He is returning, and we need to be ready for that. Our Lord promised that he would come back and lead us to heaven, as it says in today's gospel. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also will be. Well, coming up, we will celebrate the Ascension of our Lord, the Feast of the Ascension. And so we know that our Lord has gone, and we know that he will return. And when he does return, he promised other places in the Scriptures that it will lead to the end of the world and final judgment. That we agree on with those who believe in the rapture, that our Lord will return and it will be the end of the world. Just how that looks is what we disagree on. Now, we also need to be ready, of course, because our personal ends could come at any time. We always need to be prepared for death, but not fear it. We don't need to fear death. We believe in something greater on the other side of death's veil. We don't need to be fearful of it, but we do need to be ready for it. Sadly, many Catholics are fearful for it, and I think that's because they're not prepared for it. You know, we see in the Fatima visions, the children were given a vision of hell, a vision of what eternal life or what hell is like. And it was said that as they were watching this vision, they saw souls going into hell, like falling like snowflakes. And that's scary. Of course, we had a hard winter where we know exactly what snowflakes look like. Well, imagine that's the number of souls falling into hell. Our Lord says, not in the gospel we read today, but in the gospel of Matthew chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We need to realize that those who are to be saved, those who are going to enter into heaven, are not the majority. Following the majority is not going to lead us to heaven. And not everybody who dies is a good person who's going to heaven. I can't count the number of funerals where I've heard that about someone who maybe has never set foot in a church in 50 years, someone who maybe has not lived a Christian life, but they're a good person. Well, you know, they may not be in heaven. We just have to face that fact. We pray for their soul and pray for God's mercy. But we cannot delude ourselves into thinking that every person is going to heaven. Our Lord has told us that's not the case. And we need to prepare ourselves now while we're here on earth. So how do we do that? How do we enter into heaven? Well, as our Lord says in the gospel today, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. So there's two steps if we want to go into heaven, two steps to prepare ourselves. First, we must believe in him. And it must be more than an intellectual, yeah, I know God exists. To many of us, and myself included sometimes, it feels like it's mental. It's up here in our head. But we don't allow it to influence our lives. We need to place our whole lives in his hands without reservation. Secondly, we must do the works that he does. That's the second part of this. We have to allow our belief in him, our whole committed life belief in our Lord, to lead us and follow his commands and his example without excuse and without compromise. You know, in a way, we can almost look at the example of those who followed Mr. Camping in promoting May 21st as the rapture. They were willing to give up everything to promote his message. Those who could get out there and proclaim his message were those who couldn't donated to Mr. Camping and to those who were willing to promote it so that they could continue to spread the message. Now, Mr. Camping was wrong. We have the truth, however, and we should be out there spreading the gospel, which is the way, the truth, and the life. If we believe in Christ, why aren't we willing to do the same? If we believe in a salvation promised by Christ, why aren't we spreading that gospel message? What's holding us back?